Morning.
It's a good thing that this homily will be delivered outside of the ears of our children. We're all off doing the Liturgy of the Word for Children, because I'm not sure they could stand it. But, believe it or not, there was a time before handheld electronic devices. There was a time before kids do that faster than they could talk. There was a time before cell phones. And kids grew up, and kids played in those dark ages. It really happened. Some of you may even remember the earliest fringes of it, or the latest fringes of it. I grew up in the dark ages. We played without electronic devices. So one of the things we did to amuse each other was riddles. Try to catch the other guy. And one of the great riddles of the era was, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And if you could get some poor schnook to answer that question, you had him, right? Because any answer could be proven to be wrong. If he said, well, the chicken came first, you said, well, what did the chicken hatch from? Oh, the chicken hatched from an egg, yeah. But if he said the egg came first, well, who laid the egg? Well, I guess it was a chicken. You could go round and round on that one forever. Evolutionary biology, I think, gives an answer. If you trace it far enough back and split the hairs finely enough between species, at one point, somewhere farther back, there was a pre-chicken who laid a chicken egg. But we weren't into that. We just played the who came first, the chicken or the egg. Well, we can do a similar thing here this morning. Does the church make the Eucharist, or does the Eucharist make the church? Both are true. Each comes from the other, inevitably and inexorably and without exception. Tell me how the Eucharist happens if we do not gather around this ambo and this table. If we do not celebrate it, it does not come into existence. If we do not gather, it simply cannot happen. On the other hand, it is equally clear that the Eucharist makes the church. It is the Eucharist that makes us more than just a list of names of people who have been baptized, have proclaimed faith in Jesus. It is, in fact, the Eucharist that gathers us together and makes us one body in Christ. So, I think, equally inevitably and equally without exception, it is the Eucharist that makes the church. The church is not the 2,000 years of history. The church is not the institution. The church is not the teachings. The church is not the hierarchy. The church is the community that gathers, is gathered by the Eucharist, and that gathers to do the Eucharist. The Eucharist makes the church. The church makes the Eucharist. Well, just as there was a way out of the chicken and egg game if you got sophisticated enough with your evolutionary biology, there's a way out of that circle, too. Listen to the Eucharistic prayer. Very careful. It has two epiclesis. You know what an epiclesis is? Greek lesson. An epiclesis is a prayer for the coming down of the Holy Spirit. And there are two in all the Eucharistic prayers. The first, near the front of the prayer, I mean, it's like the 10th word of that short second prayer. You'll hear it this morning in the third prayer in the second paragraph. It's a prayer for the Holy Spirit to come down upon this bread and this wine, that they might become for us the body and blood of Christ. It's always, in the Roman tradition at least, before the narrative of institution. We pray for the descent of the Spirit before we recite Jesus' words at the Last Supper. After that, there's a series of prayers. There's the anamnesis prayer, the great memory prayer. And then generally, right after the anamnesis prayer, is the second epiclesis, And this is the epiclesis over the congregation, over us, praying that the Holy Spirit come down upon us, that we might become the body of Christ. So, maybe while the Eucharist does cause the church and the church does cause the Eucharist, that reciprocal causality, I think, is quite true. If you add a layer to looking at it, you see that both are a gift of the Holy Spirit and both are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is present on this table in the bread and in the wine by the action of the Holy Spirit. And the body of Christ is present around this table as a gift of God by the action of the Holy Spirit. And that ties the Eucharist back into what we were talking about last week, the essence of the life of the Trinity, that God pours God's own being out in the Father, from the Father into the Son and into the Spirit, and back round again, dancing around in a circle. And that then that love is poured out on us. God pours out the Spirit on us at Pentecost. The Christ pours out his own life over us. And God, in turn, is pouring out the Son and the Spirit upon us. So, yeah, the church causes the Eucharist. The Eucharist causes the church. But neither stands on its own and causes the other. Both are gifts. Both are gifts of the outpouring of the love of God. Both are the body of Christ. Both are the action of the Holy Spirit. So when we gather around this table, we pray for the Spirit to transform our gifts into the body of Christ and to transform us as well into the body of Christ. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.